This week's parsha, we learn Parshas Vayera. We learn all about Avraham and the incredible chesed, the acts of kindness that Avraham performed, and we try to glean as many lessons as possible from Avraham. On the flip side, we find that the pasuk says in Perek Yudches, pasuk Chaf, 18:20, it says that Sodom v'chatasam ki kavda ma'od. Sodom was very sinful. They performed a lot of sins. The Torah doesn't tell us what their sins exactly were. But the pasuk in Yechezkel, if you want to look it up, in Perek Tet Zayin, 16, Mem Tes 49. 1649, the pasuk in Yechezkel says, V'yad ani ve'evyon lo yichzika, that the people in Sodom did not support the people who are poor, give charity, help out the needy. That's what their problem was. That was their sin, and therefore they deserve this incredibly grave punishment. The question is that at that time, the Torah had not yet been given. We don't have the Torah to tell us to do the mitzvah of giving tzedakah, charity, chesed, kindness. It's not there. So how can you hold the whole country, the whole place called Sodom, accountable for something that we weren't yet commanded to do? And Rabbeinu Bachai, one of the early Rishonim, he answers, because giving tzedakah, helping out other people, especially people in your own community, in your own hometown, in your own yeshiva — he doesn't say that, I add that on — the people around you, the people that you're living with, the people that you care about, you don't need the Torah to tell you they have to do that. That's something, a mitzvah hamuskalos. It's a mitzvah that on our own, anyone that has half a brain can figure out that you should try to help another person. We should be compassionate. We should care about people. And therefore, yeah, it's true. In Parshas Vayera, this week's Parsha, the Torah has not yet been given. But everyone should have known that you have to be compassionate, you have to care about people, you have to give tzedakah, you have to give charity, you have to invite people over. That is a basic of being a human being. And the Netziv, in his introduction to this sefer, it's called Avas Chesed, it was written by the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim, many people are familiar with him because of his sefer called Chafetz Chaim, which is all about guarding your tongue, proper speech. But he wrote another book called Avas Chesed, all the laws about kindness. Once on the yahrzeit of the Chafetz Chaim, I think it was the 50th yahrzeit, commemorating the day that he passed away. So Rav Pam, who was a great Rosh Yeshiva in New York, he got up and he spoke, and he said that the book Chafetz Chaim, to learn the laws of speech, what you're allowed to say, what you're not allowed to say, that's like treating the symptoms of a disease. But learning the book Avas Chesed, all about how you have to love people and care about people and act towards people, that's treating the core of the disease. Meaning, if people would love each other and they'd care about each other and they'd give to one another, so then you wouldn't come to speak badly about another person. So we can learn about the do's and the don'ts of what we're allowed to say and we're not allowed to say, which is obviously very important. But the core is our interactions with other people. And that's in this sefer, which is lesser known. It's also translated into English. Highly recommend reading it. Avas Chesed, written by the Chafetz Chaim. In the introduction, in its Tziv, he writes that although tzedakah is this mitzvah that, again, is obvious, and we should have figured it out on our own, still, there are mitzvos that come along with it. And he writes, even though we have 7 Noahide laws, only 7 laws that the non-Jews are obligated to keep, and giving tzedakah is not one of them, that's not because they're not commanded to keep it. Of course they're commanded. But the 7 mitzvos do not include positive commandments. It only includes 7 things you're not allowed to do. And therefore, this is something that everyone is obligated to keep. Okay, this is obvious. You're a human being, you got to give tzedakah, you got to give charity, you got to care about people. This is real. And the question then is, if it's so obvious, why do we need the Torah to tell us about this mitzvah? Right? If everyone knows about it, you don't have to be Jewish to know about it. You don't have to be Jewish to be obligated in this act of chesed, of kindness. So why do I need a Torah at all to come along and command me in the mitzvah? So the Netziv says, because there's certain laws that we wouldn't be able to do or perform properly with just our common sense, and therefore we need the Torah to guide us. He says, for example, let's say I had, we'll pick a big number so we can understand it better, let's say I have $100,000, okay? And the $100,000 I need in order to feed my family. I'm going to use that $100,000 to invest, and, you know, nothing risky, something, I'll get a few percent back every year, and I'll be able to use that money as a business. I'll make money off of my $100,000. Okay. Then comes someone over to me and he says, you know, I'm in dire need. I need to borrow money. I need to borrow money. How much money do you need? Oh, $100,000. Oh, what a coincidence. He needs $100,000. So there's a mitzvah to go ahead and try to lend the person money. But I need my $100,000. If I give it away to someone, then I'm not going to get my 5%. I'm not going to get my 4% that I was planning on using to feed my family. So I don't have to go broke by lending someone else money, right? So I have a good idea. I'll give you the $100,000 on a loan, and you'll pay me the 4%. What's the difference if I take my $100,000 and put it in a mutual fund to get 4%, or give it to you and get the 4%? For me, it makes no difference, so I'll give it to you. It makes sense. This way, I get my 4%, I'm able to live the life that I need. You'll get your $100,000 that you'll need to build your store or make your business successful so that you could also have a living, and everything's perfect. The human brain would say this makes a lot of sense, and you're doing the guy a favor, and you might as well take the 4%. But the Torah tells us that there's something called ribis. There's something called the prohibition of charging interest. You're not allowed to do that. And for whatever reason, that's not for now, but that's a very, very grave sin to go ahead and charge interest. So therefore, says the Netziv, we need the Torah to guide us, even though to help another person is obvious. To help another person is a basic of being a human being. But we need the Torah to guide us and tell us when is it appropriate, when is it not appropriate, in order for us to be able to be successful. Okay. But there's something much, much deeper why we need the Torah to tell us these obvious things. And we'll go to a story, a medrash that many of us are familiar with. When the Torah was being given to the Jewish people, before it was given to the Jewish people, it was offered to other nations. And Hashem went to the people of Yishmael, and he said, so, do you want the Torah? He said, the Torah? What's in it? And he said, it says, you're not allowed to kill. You're not allowed to kill. Our ancestor, Yishmael, he was someone who killed. We can't do that one. Forget it. Okay? He went to the next one, Esav. He went to the next one, the daughters of the people of Midian, and he said, what's in it? Each one, he said, what's in it? He says, oh, it says you're not allowed to steal. You're not allowed to steal? What? My ancestor, they used to steal. I can't take this thing. Went to the third one, what's in it? The people in Midian, it says, incest, not allowed. Incest, not allowed. Oh, my matriarch, all the way back, they were involved in incest. I can't do it. They went to the Jewish people. Hashem went to the Jewish people, said, you want to take the Torah? Nasa and Ishmael, okay, we'll take it. Great. Okay. Question is, the whole story really makes absolutely no sense. Because when Hashem went to the other nation, and he said, you got to keep the Torah, what's in it? You're not allowed to kill, you're not allowed to steal, you're not allowed to be involved in incest. Those three prohibitions are part of the seven mitzvos that the non-Jews also have to keep. And therefore, whether they accepted the Torah or they didn't accept the Torah, they'd have to keep those mitzvos. They would not be allowed to do those acts. So what did they gain by not accepting the Torah if anyway they had to abide by that? And if we could ask, we'll even ask a question on Hashem. Hashem, you want to offer them the Torah? Give them something that's not part of the assignments of Bnei Noach. Give them one of the other 608, like Shabbos. Wow, this is a great day called Shabbos. Maybe they would have accepted it. There's some other mitzvah that's amazing. Why did they pick one of the ones that wasn't unique to the Torah? What's going on? Answers of Moshe Feinstein with the following parable. You have a bandit of robbers. And these guys are world-class experts. Okay? So they rob a museum, and they're going to rip off the most expensive pieces of art. And you have one guy that goes, takes down the guard, dresses up in his uniform so everyone thinks the guard is still there. He lets the people in. They go this way, they go that way. There's one guy strategizing, tell everyone where to go, what not to go, look out from here. They got the whole place done. They rip out the whole place. They have all the gold, all the silver, all the treasures. And they go back to their hiding place. Successful day. Now, these people is rob. That's what they do for a living. So they get back. What do you think they're doing? They're sitting around the table talking about how successful their day was. Do you think one guy starts going over there and like pickpocketing that guy and this guy starts stealing? No, of course. They don't steal from one another. Because if they would steal from one another, then they would never ever be... They would make any money. They steal from other people. They work together. But they would never do it to each other because they wouldn't be successful. Says of Moshe Feinstein, that is the difference between the 7 Noahide laws and the 613 mitzvos. The 7 Noahide laws are there in order for the world not to fall apart. We can't live in a world together if it's permitted to kill and to steal and to have illicit relations with this person and that person. The whole world will be hefker. It'll be a crazy place. We need order. We need to keep the world in order for it to run. And that is the purpose of the 7 Noahide laws. To keep things in check. That is not the point of the Torah. That is not the point of the Torah. The Torah says also you're not allowed to steal. But there it's not just so that the world can continue and move smoothly. But rather, it's so that my essence changes and I'm not a stealer. My essence is one who's stealing. Ooh, I'm against stealing. That's a horrible thing. It changes us. I'll give you an example. The Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Geneva, let's say there's a guy that's very needy. I want to help him. I want to give him tzedakah. Okay, I want to give him some charity. So I come to him and say, look, you know, you're homeless. You don't have money for food. I want to help you. And he says, no, I am sorry, I refuse. I am not taking money from you. But, you know, I just want to help you. No, I refuse, I'm not taking anything. So the guy's trying to figure out, how in the world is he going to help this guy? Maybe he can get him a job. He can't find him a job. So what's he going to do? Ingenious. What a beautiful, beautiful idea he has. He noticed that the guy had $5. $5 doesn't get you a place to sleep. He had $5. He says like this. There's a halacha that if I go ahead and I steal from you without you knowing about it, I have to pay you, and I get caught, I have to pay you back double. So he had a great idea. I'm going to go steal his $5 without him realizing when he's sleeping on the park bench. I'm going to go into his pocket, take out the $5, I'm going to get caught, and I'm going to give him back $10. That's all I have to give it. He can't refuse that. It's not stucca. I'm giving him $10. Then, the next night, I'm going to go and steal his $10. I'm going to make it into $20, and $40, and $80, etc. Now, am I a robber? Am I a stealer? I'm a tzaddik. I'm one of the greatest Jews that ever lived. I'm willing to risk my bad name. I'm going to go. I'm going to rob him. Maybe I could get put in jail. I'm willing to risk all the busha, all the embarrassment that's going to come with me getting caught. And I'm going to go ahead and keep on making this guy into a human being. The Rambam says that is prohibited. You are not allowed to do that. But why not? So the Rambam says, because by doing so, you're going to become accustomed to stealing. By the outward action of me stealing, even though in my mind and my hashkafa, my philosophy is for good, but the act of stealing is going to cause me internally to be a stealer. As we all know, our outward actions have a very strong impact on who we are inside, no matter why we're doing what we're doing outside. Says Moshe Feinstein, the point of the Torah telling me don't steal, don't kill, don't have illicit relations is not just so that the world could continue, but it's to change us. That inherently our essence become people who don't steal. People who don't kill. Well, we cringe when we hear about it. It bothers us because it changes us internally. The Torah is there for us to change as people. Not just to act as robots to do and not to do. The Rambam writes, the same thing comes with the mitzvah of tzedakah and acts of chesed. The Rambam says, what is better? What is better? To give $100 one time, or to give $1 100 times to 100 different people? The Rambam says it is better to give $1 and $1 and $1 and $1 and $1. Says the Rambam, why? What's the difference? Just give $100. You made $1,000, you want to give 10%, you can give 100? Give 100 in one shot. Why $1 and another $1 and another $1? Why? Says the Rambam, because when you give $100, you say like this, okay, I made $1,000 and I have to give miser, I have to give 10%, $100. Hold your nose and do what the Torah said. There you go. Wasn't that bad? I'm finished. I can move on now with my life. Right? It doesn't really have an effect on who I am. But if I have to whip out $1 again, and then that person comes asking, does he really need it? You know, here's $1. And the next person comes, $1 and $1 and $1. 100 times you give from yourself up to another person, that changes us. That makes us a giver. It's not just we fulfilled our obligation of giving 10%. We are givers. We are changing our essence. And that is the goal. Now, Avnei Nezer writes the following in one of his responsa. He says that there's a contradiction in the Ran. The Ran writes in one place that, let's say there's a guy who owes money to someone. So the courts are allowed to force the guy to pay back at a certain point. Are you allowed to go down into his house, go down into his field, and like just take something and say, okay, this is going to be the payback? Or do you have to force the guy himself to actually give it back? So the Ran, one of the Rishonim, he writes that when it comes to paying back a loan, the courts are allowed to go into the person's possessions, grab something of that worth, and pay back the loan to the person that lent the money. However, let's say a guy makes a pledge to tzedakah, a pledge to charity. He owes money. Can the courts then go into his house again and also take the vase, take the bed or something like that, and go? So the Ran says, no, you're not allowed. There you have to force the guy. So the Avnei Nezer asks, what's the difference? Why in one place where the guy owes money, you're allowed to go into his house and get the stuff, and the other case where the guy owes money, you're not allowed and you have to force him himself to give the money? And he answers, because it's a very big difference. In order to let the guy do the mitzvah of tzedakah, says the Avnei Nezer, the guy has to give it. He has to take the money and give it. It's not enough that he owed money and somehow you went ahead, took that money and gave it to the person that he wanted to donate to. The whole point of the mitzvah is that we're able to go ahead and give, be givers, for it to change us. And therefore the halacha is different. And even writes, it's a fascinating idea that's something misinterpreted. Now, let's say I'm walking down the street and I lose $1. It falls out of my pocket. Okay, and someone, a poor person, ends up picking it up and finds it. Do I fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah? I had no intention of giving it to a poor person. I didn't even know that a poor person picked it up. But at the end of the day, my dollar went from my pocket into the poor person's pocket. Do I fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah? So some people hold yes. But the Avnei Nezer says no. You will not fulfill the mitzvah. There's a Sifri, a Medrash that Rashi quotes, that sounds like you do fulfill. He points out, if you read the words carefully, it doesn't say he fulfilled the mitzvah of tzedakah. It says that the person that lost the dollar will be blessed. Meaning, he did something good came about from him, so he'll be blessed for the fact that his dollar went to a poor person. But did he fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah? Says the Avnei Nezer, he will not fulfill the mitzvah. Because the mitzvah of tzedakah is that I'm able to give up from myself towards another person. It's a very, very powerful idea. The Torah wants us to change. The Torah wants us to become better people. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. It's not about the result at the end of the day. Okay, results are important. But the result is not the goal. When I give that tzedakah, there's an entity in itself. There's something important in and of itself of me giving up from myself towards another person to change. And that's why we need the Torah to tell me about these mitzvahs. Because again, on our own, we would have thought, okay, this guy needs money. What's the difference? If I give it to him, if I lose it and he picks it up, What's the difference if you come into my house and take the money, or I give it to you myself? There's no difference. It's about making sure the poor people are able to eat. That's all what it's about, and that's what makes sense. But the Torah wants more from us. The Torah wants us to grow. The Torah wants us to change. The Torah wants to become holier people. In the midst of lending money, the Torah says, "Im kesef talva es ami." If you end up lending money. And Rashi comments over there on the pasuk. This is one of the three times in the Torah that the Torah says "im," which means if, but it's obligatory. It's obligatory. Don't think it says "im." It sounds like optional. If you end up lending money, no, you gotta lend the money. So the Maharal asks, I don't get it. If you're obligated, why did the Torah mislead us? The Torah writes "im." Sounds like it's optional. And then the Rashi has to come and tell you, but it's obligatory. So don't write "im," which means if. And we'll know that it's obligatory. Explains the Maharal. Because at the end of the day, when you give that money, you have to give it as if it's an if. You have to give it as if it's optional. You're giving it because you care about the person, you love the person, it bothers you so much, inside it hurts. You're not giving it because the Torah said you got to do this. That's not the reason, it shouldn't be the motivator. You should do it because you care about the other person. You're worried about him, you feel bad for him, and you have extra money, you want to give it to him. It should be done in a way that it changes me. The Torah says to do it, but that means that I'm supposed to be a giver. I'm supposed to care to the greatest level. And I just want to do more and more and more and more and more. So as we learn through the Torah, we have to be careful that we don't enter into the do's and the don'ts of the Torah like robots. Okay, again, sometimes people need that to set the structure and set the boundaries. But we have to let the Torah infiltrate, enter inside us, penetrate deep, 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 and change us to be better people. We should be more compassionate. We should look to help to other people. And by doing so, we'll all be great. We'll become giants. We'll become givers. We'll become more like Hashem. Hashem, like Rivoli writes, Hashem, when Hashem helps people, he doesn't do it because he has to. He does it because that's the good thing to do. That's the way to do it. That's the way to be. If we want to be like God, which is our goal, to be like God, so then we have to give like God. We have to give in the way that we're giving because that's the good thing to do. The Torah helps us. The Torah instructs us. The Torah shows us the way to do it. But at the end of the day, it has to change our whole persona. It has to make us better people and holier people. Be'ez Hashem, if we take that in, we start interacting with each other and do more chesed and more chesed and more chesed. Look for opportunities. You can help so many people just here in this room. Yeah, outside also. But even here, we can help so many people. We'll be zocha to be living in such an amazing place, amazing world, and we'll all become very special, holy people. Shavua Tov.